Someone with sleep apnea stops breathing periodically during his sleep, and this causes deep and loud snoring and deprives the brain of oxygen. Untreated sleep apnea puts a person at greater risk of high blood pressure, stroke, heart failure, diabetes, obesity, and depression. It may also severely impact one's executive function and ability to stay awake during daily activities such as driving. And those who suffer from sleep apnea are often encouraged to change their behavior or lifestyle, to take medication. One type of treatment is the use of is sleeping with a CPAP machine. A CPAP machine, which is a continuous positive airway pressure machine, is a ventilator device attached to a mask worn over the nose, which provides mild air pressure to keep one's airways open. The question is, how do we analyze the use of a CPAP machine, let's say on Shabbos? So obviously, if the doctor says if you don't use a CPAP machine, that you could put your life in danger right now, then it's a case of pikuach nefesh, and certainly you would be allowed to. It's a life-threatening situation. You'd certainly be allowed to use it. But very often, depending on the severity of the sleep apnea, the doctor may say that right now he's not in danger, but it could and will likely cause problems cumulatively later on in his life. So how do we view that? So I think there are two basic approaches that halacha has taken with respect to this question. So first, Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein, in an article in Asya, he cited the Brisker Rav, who told a doctor that pikuach nefesh, this is the context of fasting and Yom Kippur. So this person, he wasn't going to die right now if he didn't fast, but this would, if he didn't fast now, if he didn't fast now, if he would fast now, this might cause him to die early. So the Brisker Rav said that even if the fast would affect him years later when the disease would recur, and fasting now will cause him to die earlier, this is still considered pikuach nefesh, a life-threatening situation, and he is required to eat. So based on this analysis that Rav Zilberstein cites the Brisker Rav, we would argue that even though there's no immediate danger from sleep apnea, assuming that's the case, and the doctor says it will affect him later on in life, that's still called pikuach nefesh, and he would be allowed to use the CPAP machine on Shabbos. Now, the halacha is on Shabbos, even when you set aside Shabbos prohibitions, you should still try to minimize if the severity of the prohibition that you're overriding as much as possible if it does not negatively impact the treatment. This is what the Rama writes in Siman Shin Chav Ches Seif Yud Beis. And so therefore, we would say that it's best to even though it would be considered pikuach nefesh, life-threatening situation, override Shabbos, it's still best to plug in the CPAP machine on Shabbos itself when you attach the machine to your face, so that will activate it, and it will cause the closing of circuits. But still, whatever you can do to violate a less severe prohibition, most poskim hold that closing circuits, electrical circuits of Shabbos is only a rabbinic prohibition. So whatever you can do before Shabbos, that's the best. So if you can plug it in before Shabbos, or you can set it to a timer so it goes on during Shabbos, and then it's true when you apply it to your face. So that would be a rabbinic prohibition, but you could set that aside for pikuach nefesh considerations. That's one approach. The second approach, what Rav Heineman writes in an article by the Star K, and his analysis is that essentially, if something will cause long-term, quote-unquote, it could cause long-term effects to the individual, it could potentially shorten his life long-term, but it doesn't have any life-threatening situation right now. He said it's at the very least a chole she'ein bo sakana. Chole she'ein bo sakana is someone who is bedridden now. His body's aching so much that he's either forced him to be bedridden or that his entire body aches. It's generally understood that he can't really function normally. In these circumstances, what's the halacha about cholashe in bosakana? So the halacha is that the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Chav Ches, Saif Yud Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch has four different opinions regarding what you're allowed to do on Shabbos for cholashe in bosakana. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, we follow the third opinion. What's the third opinion? The third opinion is that you're allowed to set aside a rabbinic prohibition in an unusual manner. The problem here is that how are you supposed to put on the mask in an unusual manner? If we assume that again that when you put on the mask, you're closing circuits, electrical circuits, so it's an issur d'rabbanan, but how are you supposed to do that in an unusual manner? So here, though, you do have a ruling by the Chaya Adam, Klal Samach Tes Sif Yud Beis, who says that if someone is a cholash ein bo sakana, you can set aside a drabanan al yedei shino in an unusual manner. But he writes, ef shar al yedei shino if lo yedei nachri. If you can't do it in an unusual manner or via a non-Jew, mutter lasas kadarka, you can do it in the normal manner. So there are two ways to get to the same result, essentially. Either you get to the result that says it's pikuach nefesh, so you can certainly do whatever needs to get done, but however much you can lesser the prohibition that you're overriding, that's better. And so better to plug in before Shabbos. And then you have the other approach, which is saying that it's at the very least a cholosh ein bo sakana, and therefore you can set aside a rabbinic prohibition in an unusual manner. But if you can't do it in an unusual manner, you can, like Chayyarim says, you can set aside in a normal manner. So again, plug it in before Shabbos or set it to a timer, and then you can attach it to your face on Shabbos.